Does this ring a bell? My name is Ron Johnson, and I approve of the following message. It's election time, isn't it? Seeing the election commercials and all of the different things that people are saying, and specifically our two candidates, and it gets a little confusing sometimes, doesn't it? You know, what is their policy on energy? You just don't know, but they're trying to set these platforms, and with the commercials and with all the sound bites that go back and forth, and this week in particular, we had a whole number that flew back and forth. They're trying to differentiate themselves, each candidate, of what their vision for America is. Whether it be about energy, or whether it be about the budget, or whether it be about, well, hopefully at some point we'll talk about family values. I haven't heard a lot of talk about that in this election yet. But they're trying to cast a vision that will somehow have you as the voter decide. Right? Somehow catch your attention, whether it be deciding what they think you want to hear or what they actually believe. But somehow they're trying to catch your idea in your eye so that you can answer the question, who should I vote for? And in some cases, why should I vote? But we should, and we should vote biblical values. But this is the time where we are seeing those competing visions, and sometimes those visions change, and sometimes they don't, and sometimes we agree with them, and often we don't. But their goal as a candidate is to capture America with their vision, win the election, and then go into office and put it into action. At least that's the goal that we think is supposed to happen with government. And big government, you never quite know, but it's about coming up with that vision and putting it into action. What do we need as America? What do we need as a people? Where do we need to go? And then hopefully putting it into practice. Last week we started a series called Seeking God's Vision for Village. And our goal in the next few weeks is to look at what is God's vision for Village. What has God put on the hearts of leadership here? Why are we here? With the idea of, as we define that vision and as we lay out ideas, then we can hit the ground running and start to implement it and start to move forward and begin to be the church that God wants us to be, or continue to be the church that God wants us to be. Last week we talked about the importance of vision and why it was so important, and the foundation, the theological foundation, is that God has His plans for the church, for the world, and He intends to use the church as part of it. And so it makes sense then that we should try to figure out what His plans are and become part of it, because otherwise we're just fighting what God intends to do and what He wants to do. And then we talked at length about what vision looks like and why it's so important. This morning we're going to stay a little bit more general. And the idea for this morning is sort of a family meeting. I wish we could all just sort of sit in a living room together, but that would be a little difficult. So just imagine we're in a living room and we're having a family meeting and asking the question, what is our family about? What does God want for us? What direction are we going? And keeping it more general today to some big picture principles. And then in the next few weeks, move into some specifics and say, okay, how do we put it into practice? A number of years ago, about 10 or 12 years ago, as an elder board and pastoral staff, we begin to meet and ask that very question. What are we about as Village? What has God uniquely designed us to do here in Garden Grove on Buaro Street? And we came up with a vision statement that captures so many of the verses and so many of the ideas that we believed God had for Village. And you've seen it on your worship folder. You saw it on your sermon notes. They're in your sermon notes today, and they're the eye chart down at the bottom of the sermon note. Building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for Him. Building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for Him. And you hopefully have heard that a lot over the last 10 or 12 years, but hopefully not so much that we forget what it means. That we forget that this should help define where we're going. This should lay the groundwork for what we should be about. And so this morning, we want to take a time to revisit this vision statement. to revisit each of the different concepts that are presented there, as each word had significant meaning for us as we designed this vision statement and prayed it through, and God put it on our hearts. And each word said something a little bit different. So as we go through it, I want to share seven commitments that we as a church have. Seven commitments that we will hold to strongly, we will pursue, will define us, will be what we are about. And these seven come out of this vision statement. Just as you look at it, what are some of the words? Pick one word that stands out to you most. Focused. Okay? Good. Disciple. Families. Any others stand out to anyone? Christ? Christ focus. Building. Yeah. And community. For Him. We've pretty much gotten it, haven't we? But I was just curious because my guess would have been that in this vision statement, different people would resonate with different words. That some people would be about the discipleship. That some people would be about the family aspect. About the Christ focus aspect. So let's begin to tear this apart and look through this. And as we go, we'll look up a lot of different verses. So have your Bibles ready and we'll just explore what Village is about. First word, building. It's a good place to start. What do you think of when you hear the word building?
Myron.
Absolutely. How many of you were part of our building project out here? How many of you helped in some way, shape, or form? So many hands. It was fascinating to watch what happened out there as it went from this grassy area to something that is completely different, that is usable in a different way. And as we built that, one of my favorite things is to watch the time-lapse pictures. And I think we showed that in church the one day, where you see it going from the grassy field, and then you see it torn up, and all of a sudden you see the deep trenches being dug. Wasn't that fun? And then you see the pipe going down, and you see all of this groundwork, and then the foundation is laid, and the walls go up, and the whole building happened, but it didn't happen in a day. It didn't happen in a weekend. It didn't even happen in a week. But instead, it took some time to build. And the first half of our vision statement is building Christ-focused families. And the word building, there's some definitions that I want to key off of this morning. To establish, to develop, to strengthen, to build up. Along with that, to mold or form or to shape, to create. And then when I think of building something, it's about creating something that is towards a final goal. And in your eye chart there, there's space under each of the words where you can write some of our commitments. Our first commitment is that we are committed to building each other toward Christ-likeness. We are committed to building each other toward Christ-likeness. The goal is becoming like Christ. A goal we will never fully attain here on earth. Paul says, I have not attained this yet. But a goal that we should be striving for. And at the heart and soul of what we're about at Village, it's about building growth and growing together towards Christ-likeness. It's not about just hanging out. There's a goal. There's an end product in mind. Just like with the building project, there was a set of plans. There was a goal. Without a set of plans, you can just imagine what would have happened. We might have had 10 different people that laid out the pipes 10 different ways, and then another 5 that didn't even think we needed pipes. The walls may have not joined, and the roof may not have fit on the walls that were there. But there was a plan. For us at Village, we are committed to ongoing growth towards Christ-likeness. To being molded, to being formed, to being sanctified more and more every day. One of the verses we read in worship was Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I encourage you to open your Bibles and turn to Romans 12. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be changed. Be changed from the worldly life, from the natural man, to be transformed, to be sanctified. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. As we think about a commitment to building each other toward Christ's likeness, a couple thoughts come to mind. The first is that it involves everyone and you're never done. It involves everyone and you're never done. We never get to a point in our spiritual walk where we've arrived. I don't need to grow anymore. I'm just about helping other people grow. One of our commitments at Village is that every one of us is to be growing more into Christ-likeness every day. I was over at my dad's house last night, and they have done work on their house actually since I can remember. And I hope it's okay to tell this story, Dad. And they just finished their backyard, or they're almost done with their backyard, and I asked, Dad, so what are you going to do now? You're almost done. And he just started laughing and started outlining all the things in the house that needed to be changed again. He's never done. He will never be done with that house. What a great picture of what Christ wants to do in our lives. He is never done transforming you into His likeness. Whether you're 20 or whether you're 80 or whether you're 100, you are not done. And if we're serious about this commitment, then we have to be serious about allowing ourselves to be molded, about coming to community and coming to church saying, I want God to teach me something today, instead of coming and saying, it's Sunday morning, I guess I have to go to church. There's an expectation that if we are serious about building, and that's part of our vision, then that affects why we come together. Are you willing to be challenged to grow spiritually? Are you open to be molded? It's not always an easy process. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we're faced with things in our lives that we really don't want to admit to. And sometimes if you've been a believer for 40 or 50 years, it's even harder because there's this image that I'm supposed to have it all together. But at Village, we're about every one of us growing towards Christ-likeness every week. As I think about building, another thought that comes to mind is what I mentioned before, is that it's an ongoing process. It's something that has to be done in stages. Another definition of to build was to prepare in stages. We have to allow each other the space to grow. We have to come together as a body, and if we're serious about building towards Christ's likeness, we have to realize that everyone is in the process of maturity, but everyone may be at different points. And I see this so vividly in my son. He's 3. There are some things that I just can't expect him to do yet. I don't know why. He should have it down. It's been 3 years. Almost 4. He'll go into a house right now. For some reason, his sense of smell has developed strongly. And he'll just walk into a house and just in front of everyone say, ooh, something smells bad. And Susie and I are like, no. But he's 3. And so when we think about that, there's a certain level of maturity that is appropriate for a 3-year-old. There are certain things that we instruct. There are certain things that we discipline, right? We instruct when it's an issue of maturity, when it's an issue of just simply being immature, an issue of age. We discipline when it's an issue of sin, when it's an issue of rebellion. But you handle it differently. And in a church body, so often we come and we have this idea that I have it all together. And everyone else should have it all together. And we never leave room for growth. And just as it would be silly to expect Mark to be able to carry on an adult conversation and drive himself to church, in the same way, it's silly sometimes to expect a young Christian to behave like a 40-year-old Christian on issues of maturity. I'm not talking sin issues. Do we come together with a spirit that is accepting of each other, that is willing to help each other grow, to realize that it's a process, and if we're to be about building each other towards Christ's likeness, we have to be about the long haul? Because no one in this room is going to get to a level of maturity in a day, a weekend, or even a week. But as God reveals things in our lives month by month and year by year, He draws us into deeper relationships with Him. 2 Corinthians 3:18, one of my favorite verses, dealing with being transformed into His likeness. If you turn there, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Look at some of the words there, and if you are one that likes to underline things or make notes in your Bible, it's not have been transformed into His likeness. Now, we've been justified, but this is talking about sanctification, the ongoing growth. And the wording there is, we are being. It's a continuing action. It is not completed yet. We are being transformed into His likeness a little bit more every day. We ask the question, am I willing to be molded? Am I ready to grow? The second question to ask when it comes to building Christ-focused families is, am I willing to allow others to grow and not be critical when they don't have it together? It is so easy to be critical in a family. Those of you with multiple kids, you've seen it with your kids. The oldest one complaining about the youngest one and who knows what. It's so easy to be critical of each other. Am I willing to allow others to grow? Romans 15, 1 and 2, and I'll read this, says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. Building each other towards Christ's likeness is about being moldable. It's also about reaching out and encouraging each other, allowing each other to grow. And the last thought that as I think about building is it requires some personal responsibility to actively help someone else grow. Not just to let it happen, but instead of criticism, it's about coming alongside and encouraging. Coming alongside and helping them grow, helping build them up. Are we growing as a church? There's a lot of talk about church growth, and it starts with growing towards Christ's likeness. If we're not growing towards Christ's likeness, if we're not being built towards Christ's likeness, then we will be unhealthy, and we will not be a church that God wants. How are we doing on that? We're committed to that. That's one of our commitments with the word building. Second phrase you see there is Christ-focused. Christ-focused. And our second commitment at Village, as we look at our vision, as we look at what God has called us to do, is we are committed to making an intimate relationship with God the family priority. An intimate relationship with God is to be the family priority. Not a family priority, the family priority. When you think of focusing on something, it means removing all other distractions and zeroing in on just that one thing. And if we say that we're about being Christ-focused, it means that our priority is Christ, period. There's nothing else. He is the center. He is the focus of all attention. He is the reason for all we do. That's what Christ focus means. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Seek first His kingdom. If we're to be Christ-focused, then our family's priority must be on serving and loving and following God. There are a lot of things that draw in families, aren't there? If you did everything you wanted to do and your kids wanted to do, you would run out of time every week. Guaranteed. And at Village, we believe strongly that a healthy family is one that is focused on God, and that is the priority. And that begins to define our activities. It begins to define our decisions. Are we seeking first His kingdom? Colossians 3, 1 and 2 reads, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Set your hearts on things above. Set your minds on things above. It's about changing our focus. Is our focus the school, the soccer games, the activities, all the things that occur here? Or is our focus on things above, on heavenly things? You know, some great questions to ask as a family is, when was the last time we just sat and talked about spiritual things, what we're learning in Christ? When was the last time we sat and talked about the neighbors that need Christ and how we might reach them? When was the last time we just shared prayer requests as a family and prayed for each other? And I pray that it hasn't been that long. But those are some practical things that show a Christ-focused family, that show a Christ-focused life. The Olympics started this weekend. Did anyone catch the women's fencing yesterday? USA swept the medals. Gold, silver, bronze. And I got a little bit of the gold and silver match. And they were interviewing the athletes afterwards. And I'm always intrigued as the athletes talk about what they went through to get there. And the stories are all the same, aren't they? I haven't heard a story of an athlete that said, "You know, I just woke up a month ago and thought, hey, the Olympics would be nice." I've never heard that. Instead, I've heard things like, "You know, from the time I was a child, every morning, we were up at 5:30, fencing or swimming or skating or whatever it is." And it's a commitment that they had to focus their life to get to that goal. And as you talk to these Olympic or watch these Olympic athletes and watch their interviews, their whole lives, their discipline of their schedule, their eating habits, and everything revolved around this goal. They were Olympic focused. God calls us in His Word to be Christ focused. To be Christ focused. And what is beautiful about this is He's asked us to be focused on Him in an intimate relationship. It's not just a faraway thing, a faraway goal of a distant God, but He said, "I want to love you. I want you to love me. You will be my people. I will be your God." Jeremiah 24:7, "I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart." We are committed to making an intimate relationship with God our family priority. A couple of ways that works itself out. One of the things that we are firmly committed to is God's Word and the study of God's Word, the learning of God's Word, and the obedience of God's Word. Because as a church, if we are to be Christ-focused, then we are to be about His Word.
1 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work."
On each of our commitments, we need to ask ourselves a question. And on this one, the question is, do people around me know that Christ is the priority in my life? Do people around me know that I have made following Christ the most important thing in my life? Because if it is, they will. Does that make sense? If it really is the most important thing in my life, I can't hide it. I won't try to hide it. It will permeate everything that I do. Do people know Christ is first in your lives, in your family's lives?
C.S. Lewis writes, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, to God's voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in."
As he wrote about putting aside the distractions and focusing on God and God alone. We're committed to growth, an ongoing growth. We're committed to making Christ the focus and the priority of our families. And third, we get to the word families, the one that so much is part of what we are at Village. We are committed to building and being a healthy family. We are committed to building and being a healthy family. So B&B. Not that we're all going to go to a bed and breakfast, but building and being. First and foremost, part of our commitment here at Village is that we will help you build a strong family, a healthy family. In Ephesians 4, and I'm not, or 5, I'm not going to read this, but we have the instructions to wives and to husbands and to children. And we see in God's Word that God was interested in strong families. He was interested in the practical things of how families live and how we get along. And He's interested in the hurts and the difficulties and the struggles. And at Village, one of our commitments is to address that, is to be offering things like the Love and Respect class, parenting classes, to be offering ways for families to serve together, to come together, things like a youth barbecue that involves parents. But if we're committed to building strong families, then we're committed to giving families opportunities to be together. It's part of who we are. We believe God has equipped us and given us a unique place in Orange County to build strong families. That at times means that we will be intensely practical. We'll talk about the marriage relationship. We'll talk about the parenting relationship. Because as we build healthy families, in our culture, those shine like a beacon to those around us. They make our family different because we are Christ-focused, because we are being sanctified into Christ-likeness. They are the evidence of those two things. More than that, though, as we talk about family, we want to define what we mean by family. So many times when people come to a family-oriented church, the first thing that comes to mind is husband and wife and 2.3 kids. And that's how what we think of as a family. But this morning, our commitment is to redefine that a little bit. Because there are people that don't have that anymore. Maybe people have lost a spouse. Maybe there's people here that are going through the struggle of single parenting. There's people here that are lonely, that haven't found or been part of a family. But as God in His economy defined it, He said, this becomes your family. The church becomes your family. In Psalm 68, 5 and 6, if you'll turn there. Psalm 68, 5 and 6. We'll start at 4, actually. Sing to God. Sing praise to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before Him. And then catch these next two verses. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in His holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. It goes on, He leads forth the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. He says, I am a father to the fatherless. I'm a husband to the widows. I have set the lonely in families, speaking of those that don't have families. And so as the people of God, we're not only committed to building strong families, but to being a strong family. And this is an area that we must be diligent in. We must be aware of what happens around us here on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. Do we know when somebody's not here? Do we know when somebody's hurting? Can we look beyond our immediate family and see our spiritual family? Because that's God's design. So if you're here this morning and you don't fit into the mold of husband, wife, and 2.3 kids, or maybe two or three kids. Your family. Your family. And when we break into groups at times, and when we do family functions at times, you are included because you are part of family. And it is the body that makes this happen. It is not my responsibility or the elders' responsibility alone to make everyone feel like family here. It's the family's responsibility. As we do family things, what a blessing it would be if you intentionally saw people that needed more family, that needed church family, and invited them along. Or invite them over for dinner. Pastor Leroy talked about this concept at length and pounded into us that we are family because it's one of our commitments. It's part of who we are at Village. Romans 12:10, I'll just read a couple verses. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. The believers are described as a family. Jesus Himself, as His immediate family came to Him, said, He pointed to His disciples and He said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. Building Christ-focused families. It means going beyond ourselves and being a family. In doing so, we will bless each other. We will help growth. We will meet needs. But it takes intentionality. We move on to the next word. The word that nobody mentioned. That. You said it? Thank you. You cared about the little words. Yeah. Building Christ-focused families, that. And that word, I think I put in red in your notes because it is a key word. Without the that, without the second half of the statement, then it's just a self-centered statement of what we want and what we want to be and how we want to build ourselves and what we want Sunday morning to look like. But in God's plan, He wants us to do something. It has a purpose. And that purpose is beyond just our own self-enjoyment. And the that there means purpose. It means that we build Christ-focused families for a reason, for a purpose, to accomplish something for our Lord and Savior. A few things that come out of that disciple and the building. The fourth commitment is that we are committed to helping every believer find a place to serve. We are committed to helping every believer find a place to serve. See, if there's a focus in our vision statement, if there's a reason, if there's a purpose, then there's the intention that we are to help each other grow. We're to help each other build. We're to help disciple each other. We're to be doing something with our faith. And we're committed to giving you opportunities to doing that, to helping every believer find a place to serve, because every believer should be serving. Ephesians 4, if you'll turn there, another familiar passage. And so many of these passages are familiar because they are key passages to the purpose of the church. There's nothing new in this vision statement. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Jumping down to verse 16. From Him, being Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. When we look ahead at Village, when we look at our vision, part of our vision is that each part does its work. We're committed to helping believers find their gifts, find their place to serve, and giving them opportunities to serve. It's part of the that. It's part of doing something with our faith instead of just enjoying it or being entertained by it. The great violinist Paganini willed his marvelous violin to Genoa, the city of its birth. The only condition he gave was that the instrument was never to be played upon. It was an unfortunate condition, however, for it is a peculiarity of the wood that as long as it is used and handled, it shows little wear. As soon as it is discarded, it begins to decay. The exquisite mellow-toned violin has become worm-eaten in its beautiful case, valueless except as a relic. This instrument that is falling apart reminds us that we are intended to be used. And if we're not serving and if we're not being used by God, we are becoming worm-eaten and falling apart. God created us to serve Him. That's one of our commitments here. We are committed to ongoing growth. We are committed to being Christ-focused. We are committed to building and being a family. And we're committed to helping each believer serve. The fifth commitment, and on your notes, you'll just sort of put it with the fourth one. There's not a lot of space there. You can write small. Our fifth commitment is the word disciple. We're committed to personal discipleship. We're committed to personal discipleship.
Matthew 28, one of our key verses as we look at the vision and mission of the church. Matthew 28, 19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." 2 Timothy 2, 2 says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." As we look at what we're about as Village, it's about discipleship as well. It's about personal relationships. It's about Titus 2, which we spoke on a few weeks ago. Are we willing to be mentored? Are we willing to disciple? It goes both ways. And that's something that we're committed to, and my prayer is over the coming years that we create a whole number of opportunities for that to happen. For the older to teach the younger. For them to come alongside and be a family. We're committed to personal discipleship. Building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for Him. Our sixth commitment comes from the words, disciple their community. We are committed to reaching our community for Christ. And if we're committed to it, then we need to be about it. It needs to be more than just words that we say. We're committed to reaching those around us. Because part of discipleship, the first stage of discipleship, is bringing them the gospel. Is bringing them the good news. We are more than just a church that we want to shut our doors and we have our group of believers and we're good. We're happy. We don't want to be uncomfortable with people coming. That's not what we're about. We are about discipling our community for Him. Are we reaching out? That's what Matthew 28 is all about. Jesus' marching orders to His disciples as He sends them on their way to carry out His plan. He says, "Go and make disciples. Teach and baptize." It's about reaching your community, reaching broad communities for Him. We're committed to reaching our community for Christ. Next week, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about this one as we go through a number of practical ideas and practical ways we can put these into practice. But that's part of who we are at our core. That's part of our vision statement. Do we have a heart for our community? For our local community, for our neighborhoods. We want to have that heart. And finally, the last two words of the vision statement. Building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for Him. We're committed as a church to making everything we do be about the glory of God. Making all we do showing God's glory. Another familiar verse is 1 Corinthians 10:31. "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. If you go to Taco Bell, that's the eating part. Do it for the glory of God. If you're playing hockey, do it for the glory of God. If you're getting together and doing crafts together, do it for the glory of God. Everything we do here ties back to the glory of God. And as we plan things to do and as we look at what ministries we want to do, these seven things become a filter to say, are we doing these things? Is this part of our commitments? Does this bring glory to God? Does this build families? Does this draw us into Christ-likeness? Does this reach our community? If not, then maybe there's more focused things we can be doing. Building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for Him. As I think about moving forward as Village, as I think about how to put this into practice,
I want to focus on four different ways to put it into practice. And we have these seven commitments, but they all come down, some of them are similar, they all come down to four different areas that we as a church can practically put this into practice. And these are four values and four areas that I want us to know backwards and forwards, because they should define what we're about. And the four areas are, number one, outreach. And we've already mentioned that that's one of our commitments. And these four build on each other. And outreach, we are to be about outreach. And as we think about where we're going as a church, what are we doing that's in this category? What are we doing that's contributing to outreach? The second stage is community. As people are told about Christ, they'll come and see what happens at Village, and they should see community. They should see a community of believers that is encouraging each other, that is fellowshipping together, but for a reason, and that should draw them in even further. So what are we doing as Village to improve community? That's the being a family. That's the community. Outreach, community, spiritual growth. That will always be a commitment here at Village. A firm commitment to growing in God's Word, to studying God's Word. We already talked about that in three of the commitments. A commitment to spiritual growth. Are we doing things that are helping people draw closer to God? In the fourth area, just as we take this and put it into practical, measurable steps of what are we doing, is that of ministry. And I've already mentioned that this morning. Are we involved in ministry? And as we take these seven commitments, as we take this vision statement, over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look specifically at each of those categories and brainstorm. Throw out ideas. What can we do that makes Village about outreach? What can we do that builds community? What can we do to grow spiritually? What can we do to make sure that every believer is in ministry and to encourage that and enable that? And that'll be our marching orders. As we say, how do we put this into practice? Our vision statement infiltrates everything we do. I want to end with a story of Einstein. Any Einstein fans? He was on a train to New York. Brilliant man, scientist. He lost his ticket. And he's frantically looking for his ticket, and he's searching the seats for his ticket. And the conductor came to him and recognized him. He's a fairly recognizable man. And he assured him it wouldn't be necessary for him to find his ticket. He said, "You know, I'm sure that if you say you bought one, you did. I believe you. There's no question about it. Don't worry about it." Conductor walks away, and Einstein goes back to searching, and he's still frantic. Conductor comes back and says, "Why are you still searching?" And he tells the conductor, it's not an issue of trust. It's an issue of direction. Without the ticket, I have no idea where I'm going." Brilliant man still needed to know where he was going. Building Christ-focused families that disciple their community for him. That's where we're going. I hope we ride together. Lord God, our Father, as we have read all of these verses and studied your word and read your instructions for the church and what you want the church to be about, Lord, may we take that seriously. As we move forward on the foundation that has been laid here at Village, may we renew our commitment to our vision, the vision you have put on our hearts. May we renew our commitment to growth and ongoing growth in you and making you the center of our lives and building families and being a family. Lord, may we be a people that serves you, that disciples each other,
reaches the world for you and impacts the world. Lord, I pray that you would use Village Bible Church at this moment of time to impact the world around us in amazing ways. Lord, I pray for the families that are represented in this room. Being a family has so many joys and oftentimes many struggles or hurts. But I pray that we would come together and you would equip each family here to be a light for you. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent when you say you have set the lonely in families of being those families. Lord, give us your heart. And as we move forward, may we find great joy in your heart, in your plans, in your ways. Give us the strength to be so much more than ourselves. So much more than just pew-sitting Christians, but to boldly move forward and make a difference for you. Lord God, may we be about the that. Thank you, God, for this church, for what you want to do here, for what you are going to do here. We offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices. In your name.